those words or use those words. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Probably so many times that we don't really even hear those words in some way. And the gospel today is asking us to reflect on one of the seven petitions contained in the prayer, the Our Father. That petition is the one that goes, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." The Our Father occurs both in Matthew and in Luke. In Matthew, it's the longer version. And the translations that you'll find in most English-speaking Bibles do not say trespasses and trespassers. It's much more straightforward. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That translation certainly ties it immediately into the gospel that we heard today, which is all about debts and debtors. So maybe to get a better understanding of what we're saying in the Our Father, we should take a closer look at the parable. But, you know, this is not one of the more difficult parables, is it? It appears to be pretty simple, that our forgiveness of one another should be based on the forgiveness that we have experienced from God, so that the debt that we were owed, that we owed to God, has been forgiven, and therefore we should forgive our debtors like that. But let's take a look at the parable, because there are a few strange things going on in it that may lead us to an even kind of deeper understanding of what's going on in the parable. First of all, we need to deal with numbers and amounts of money, right? We're dealing with debts. So forgive me as we spend a little time talking about numbers and money. No, this is not asking for money from you, all right? That's the pastor's job. First of all, when Peter is talking to Jesus about how many times he has to forgive somebody, Peter suggests maybe three times. And that is seven times, because in the Old Testament, three was kind of the acceptable number. Peter is upping it to seven. Now, why is Peter even saying this? Remember last Sunday, it was talking about what you do with people that leave the community or people who will not leave the community and are behaving poorly. So this is all about the running of a community, and Peter brings up this question, well, if I am to forgive, how many times? And he thinks he's doing a good thing by saying seven. Jesus responds, in some translations, 77 times, not seven. In most translations, though, it's seven times 70. Quick, 490, right? It is an enormous number. Seven is kind of like the complete number. Seven times 70, 490, would be limitless, all right? So keep that number stored away. The next thing we have to talk about before getting back to the parable is about daily wages in the time of Jesus. It's generally accepted that the daily wage at the time of Jesus was a Roman coin called the denarius, okay? Trying to translate ancient currency into something that we understand gets to be very, very tricky. But if you keep it within the context of the parable, I think it'll be helpful. So the second servant, who has a debt to the servant who is forgiven, has a debt of, now, here's a problem with this translation. It says it is a small amount. The literal translation is 100 denarii. So the one servant owes the other 100 denarii. If that's one day's labor, it's about 3 1/3 months. That's what he owes to his fellow servant. I think that's more helpful than saying a small amount. It allows us to picture it. But let's go to that first servant that the translation says a huge amount. A huge amount, they probably say that because they don't want to get in the complexity of what the literal translation is, which is 10,000 talents. Here's some of the problems with that. A talent is not a coin. A talent is a unit of weight. So it depends what you're weighing. Are you weighing silver? Are you weighing gold? All right? So 10,000 talents. Let's try and make that equivalent to denarii somehow. It's estimated that, and again, this is all kind of guesswork, but it's estimated that a talent was worth between 6,000 and 10,000 denarii. So 10,000 talents times 10,000 talents per denarii, this guy owes his lord 100 million denarii. Years and years and years. 3.5 months versus 10 million, which I did the math, and it turns out to be between, well, it's over 200,000 years, all right? But he promised to pay him back in full, right? So to really understand what's going on in the parable, I think you need to know that sense of proportion in these numbers. Because remember, in a parable catches the imagination of people by something that seems completely out of place, completely hyperbolic. And that is what is going on in this parable. Let's get back to the parable, all right? We'll come back to those numbers in a second. So we talked about Peter and Jesus, and Peter thinking he's doing the right thing, and Jesus says no. You see, what Peter wants to do is to quantify forgiveness. How many times do I have to do this? And Jesus' response, quite honestly, you do it 490 times, which means it's limitless. Authors have pointed out, for Peter to ask, how many times do I have to forgive somebody? How often do I forgive? Would be as foolish to the way that Jesus thinks about it as asking, how often do I have to love my neighbor? Please tell me the number so I can do that each day and get it over with. How often must I forgive? How often must I love my neighbor? 490 times. It's absolutely limitless. The challenge is, Peter's question doesn't seem exactly linked to the parable, does it? Because Peter is looking for numbers. He wants so he can check off each day whether he's done what he's supposed to. And the parable talks more about how forgiveness occurs, right? So we know the parable, and the parable is pretty straightforward. That the king is owed this enormous amount, you have the numbers, this enormous amount that could never be paid back. And that's probably what caught the ear of the listeners, how absurd this situation was, how much money it was, and how impossible it was for that to ever be paid back. And yet the king forgives the debt of the servant after the servant begs forgiveness and begs him to forgive the loan. There's a lot of confusion in that part of the parable. The real question is, how did that servant ever get that much money, okay? We don't know that, but what we know is that that debt was forgiven. That servant then goes out, sees the guy who owes him 3.5 months' daily wages, and refuses to forgive him, even though that individual uses exactly the same words that the first servant used. And that they are, well, they are, they are that I will pay you back in full, have mercy, I will pay you back in full. Exactly the same words. What Matthew is emphasizing is it's the same. It's the same ask, it's the same request. But the servant turns them down. And then is sent off to the torturers, okay? It's clear that what this is about is a lesson of how our own understanding of our forgiveness of God needs to be reflected in the way we forgive one another. That when we have a sense of what we have been forgiven, it may not make it easier, but it certainly encourages us to live a life of forgiveness. C.S. Lewis put it interestingly. He said, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Because we have been forgiven, we have to learn how to forgive just as we have to learn how to love our neighbor. But there's a little something more going on here. That last part of the parable bothers me. I don't know if it bothers you that the king, who is so forgiving, then sends this guy off to the torturers and sends him off to prison. It's one interpretation is the only thing that can't be forgiven is a lack of forgiveness. But I wonder a bit there if that guy doesn't have the same problem that Peter had. Peter wants to quantify things. Peter wants to know, how many times do I have to forgive? This guy doesn't get that he was forgiven this huge amount, right? Forgiven this huge amount. And then he turns around and begins doing quantifying again because he wants that 3.5 months that he owed by his fellow servant. He hasn't taken in what has happened. He doesn't understand that forgiveness is not a one-time event. He wants to go back to the kind of bookkeeping that he's used to. And maybe, just maybe, those torturers aren't literal torturers. Maybe those torturers are the torturers who afflict him because he doesn't really believe he is forgiven. If he doesn't really believe he is forgiven, he's not going to forgive others. So too for us. If we don't have that sense of how we've been forgiven, how can we even begin to do that? We're going to go out and find the next person who owes us the 3 1/3 months back wages and ask them to give it to us immediately. As I was reading around about this, I came across a quote that really helped to understand and tie it together with what Peter is doing, because Peter is trying to quantify forgiveness, and the man in the parable is forgetting about forgiveness being a way of living rather than a specific event. Martin Luther King wrote, "Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude. Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors."